Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Shmiras Halashon class learning. We are learning Lilui Nishmaso and Lezech Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoel V'chana Alav Hashem. May his neshama alisa have a continuous aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning and the merit of our Avodas Hashem to better ourselves with our speech. And may he be a meili tziyasher for you and your whole family for health, b'sorus tovos, simchas, and only nachas. With Alyssa's permission, we are also learning for continued Besuras Tovos and Refuos for Bracha Vigayel, Bas Rachel Gita, Besoch Sha'archode Yisrael. So, Tvi Al Hadibur. So, we are trying to get through the Gemara in Arachin, Tasvav, which is really the main place, the primary place that the Gemara deals in depth with the teachings regarding Shmiras Halashon. Not only are we doing the Gemara, but we're doing many of the footnotes, which leads into many other discussions and learning. We saw the Rambam, Hilchos Tumas Taras, that was a few weeks ago. I don't know if you recall. I hope someone recalls. We did the Rambam in depth. Last time, two weeks ago, we spoke in depth of the teachings from Rabbi Daniel Feldman, one of the YU Rashi Yeshivas. So today, before we get back to resume Emesach Arachin, I leave a sticky so I know where we're up to. I think that our learning this morning must begin. It's very appropriate. It's a strong word. It is very appropriate as we prepare Rachmana Litzlan to usher in the 3 weeks. This Wednesday evening of Thursday is Shivasar B'Tammuz. Shivasar B'Tammuz is the day that begins Bein HaMitzarim, between the straits or in the narrow places, which is the three most mournful weeks on the Jewish calendar year, beginning with the tainis of Shivasar B'Tammuz and the climax, of course, of this, the tainis of Tisha B'Av, the time when we mourn for Churban Batei Mikdash, when we mourn for Galus, Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, and when we mourn for Churban of Eretz Yisrael, Churban of our Lamb. So we have to begin, I think, in Masechus Yuma. And I'm going to be reading the famous piece of Gemara, but also with the footnotes. And I found it very, very interesting when I was preparing, as you will hear, that the footnotes quote the Chafetz Chaim specifically in reference to the Gemara that we are going to now share. So I know that everybody knows this Gemara outside. It's perhaps the most oft-quoted Gemara during this time of the calendar year. But Mikdash Rishon, so Maseches Yuma Tes Amud Beis, okay? Mikdash Rishon Mipnei Mecharav. Why did the Babylonians, Al Naros Babel, Shem Yashavnu, Kapitol Kuf Amud Zayin, Gam Bachinu, Bezachrenu Et Zion? So why was the first temple Taka destroyed, the Gemara asks? So the Gemara says, because there were three things, in other words, three sins that existed during that time. There are what we call three yagval yavors, transgressions that a Jew must give of his life rather than transgress, the three cardinal sins, and they are idolatry, immorality, and bloodshed. Then the Gemara goes on to prove, quoting a different pasuk from different places in Nach, to prove that these three sins existed during this time. I'm just going to unlock the call. One sec, please. The meeting has been unlocked. And then the Gemara says, so then the Gemara goes to prove that these sins were prevalent at this time. Okay, for Shvichus Damim, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Dichtiv, as it is written, just for your reference, in Malachim, Sefer Bet of Malachim. V'gam dam naki shafach Menashe harbe me'od ad asher mile Yerushalayim palapet. Menashe said, shed so much innocent blood until the streets of Yerushalayim were filled from end to end with blood. So what the Gemara has done, and we're not going to focus on that for today's learning, is that it proves to you that these sins, these first three sins that we said, the cardinal sins, filled, unfortunately, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, during the time of the first temple. But the Gemara then says, "Aval mikdash sheni, Sheni, Shahayu Oskim Betora Uva Mitzos Ugmidas Chasadim. Very, very interesting statement. The Gemara begins talking about time period of Temple Sheni and the Churban Bayi Sheni by telling that in the time of the Second Temple, the people were Osek. They were involved or occupied or busy with Torah, Mitzvos, and Gemilas Chasadim. So it sounds like a very religious place where you would want to live, where I would want to live. So the people are Osig. We say every morning, La'asok b'divrei Torah, in Torah, Mitzvos, and Gemilas Chasadim, learning Torah, acts, filling commandments, acts of loving kindness, Mipnei Macharav. So the Gemara says, why was it destroyed? So the Gemara answers very simply, Mipnei Shehai Sabo Sinaschirim, because of the baseless hatred that existed. The Gemara then says, Lilam Dacha to teach you, Shashakula Sinas Chinam Keneged Shalosh Averos, that Sinas Chinam is equal to or weighty, is equal in weight to the three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Ushfichas Damim. And this is a very strong statement of the Gemara. Anyone who hates his fellow Jew does not think to himself, oh, well, it's not as bad. I didn't commit Avodah Zarah. You might think to yourself, I didn't kill anybody after all. I'm not doing Gilui Arayos. I'm a good, from person. But if you have this midah of sinas chirim, so the Gemara comes to teach us, if we act like we are filled with venomous poison against our fellow Jews, so that's a big problem. The Gemara says that's equal to the three cardinal sins that none of us would ever consider transgressing. So now I'm going to the footnote in Maseches Yuma Tas Amud Beis. So the Gemara says sinas chirim, okay, baseless hatred. It's actually gratuitous hatred. Hard for me to say that word, so I'm going to stick with baseless hatred, okay? Gratuitous or baseless hatred is hatred directed towards individuals who have not committed, I'm quoting from the article footnote, in parentheses it says he's quoting Rashi to Masechah Shabbos, okay? Gratuitous or baseless hatred is hatred directed towards individuals who have not committed any action for which it would be justifiable to hate them. So just stop. There are certain circumscribed situations when it is permitted to bear ill feelings towards another person. For example, one personally witnesses that person willfully engage in an obvious forbidden act. So this reminds me of Pinchas. We just read, well, actually this coming week's Parsha is Pinchas. It's the continuation of the narrative that begins at the end of Parsha's Balak, when Pinchas sees Zimri laying publicly with Cosby. He is willfully engaged in an obviously forbidden act. Pinchas gets up and spears them. Since, continuing with the footnote, that person has desecrated the Torah by committing a notorious and well-established transgression, one may hate him. So I think that's very interesting. I don't know if I would have thought of that necessarily, but stam, because we're in these parshios, I shouldn't say stam, dafka, because we are in these parshios between Balak and Pinchas, this is very reminiscent of what Pinchas did. Pinchas was not a murderer. God was very pleased with what Pinchas did. In the beginning of this week's parsha, Pinchas, Hashem rewards him with the bris kuhunas olam and brisi shalom for what he did. So clearly, because Zimri was willfully engaged in an obviously forbidden act, Pinchas witnessed this, and since that person has desecrated the Torah by committing a notorious and well-established transgression, one may hate him. However, continues the footnote, even in this case, the Torah commands us to extend our assistance to the hated person, and to do so before assisting our friends, so that the sanctioned ill will shall not mutate into full-fledged hatred. So in Pinchas' case of Zimri and Cosby, I surmise that there was no way to extend assistance to that hated person, but perhaps in our lives we will not witness such a terrible thing ever in our lifetimes. But if there is someone who you see willfully transgressing, perhaps we can help them come to a place of assisting them to understand why Shemir Shabbos is so important, to understand why Shemir Salashon is so important, to understand why Taras HaMishpacha is so important, why Tefillah is so important, and therefore you try that the ill will should not mutate into full-fledged hatred. Continuing with the footnote, the use of the English word hatred to translate sinna. So what exactly is sinna schinam? Does it really mean you hate? It's such a strong word. Do we really hate another Jew? Is that permissible to hate another Jew? It even relates to the brothers on Yosef in Paraklam and Zayin Bereishis, Vayisnu Oso Echav, Vayar Hashem Kisnu Aleya. How do we understand these psukim? Do the brothers hate Yosefer, did they judge that he did the wrong things and therefore they convened the Beis Din? Was Leah hated? Or was she the last loved wife? So the Gemara footnote says, the use of the, again, I'm quoting from Artskul Maseches Yuma 9b2, footnote 18. The use of the English word hatred to describe or explain sinas chinam may be too strong. The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin defines a sone as one who has not spoken with his fellow for 3 days out of enmity. Okay, so that's very, very interesting, because that's not typically, maybe you could be upset at someone, or two people could be in a quarrel. We don't typically think that true sinah is only 3 days. And now, the Chafetz Chaim notes, now the footnote quotes the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Ahavas Yisrael, that it is very common for two people to have a spat, bear recriminations against each other, and avoid meeting. Though they display no visible signs of full-fledged hatred, the Gemara would classify such person as sonim. Accordingly, sinas chinam might exist between these two acquaintances when an amicable relationship is lacking. So the Chafetz Chaim says it's very common that two people have a spat, a machlokas. They bear resentment against each other. They avoid meeting each other. So would you say avoiding meeting with someone for 3 days is sin? I don't want to see that person. Even though they display no visible signs of full-fledged hatred, these people would be classified as sonim, which reminds me of the mitzvah in the Torah in Parshas Kedoshim, lo tisna esachticha bilvavacha. It's not enough not to display ill will and hatred externally, but you cannot harbor, says the Chafetz Chaim, teaching this even in your heart. The Gemara describes the hatred as gratuitous, i.e. groundless and unwarranted. In other words, the Gemara is telling you that in the time of the Second Temple, and we're about to usher in these 2 weeks, so hopefully this class will put us in the proper mind frame of Rachman al-Litzan, maybe the Geula will come before Shuvah Sefer Tammuz comes to take us out of this terrible exile. But if, Chalila, that does not happen, we will mourn. And instead of trying to make our mourning comfortable and looking for excuses out of the mourning, perhaps we should understand what we're mourning, what the sin was, what sin is chinam means, how this relates to so strongly Shmir Salashim. Stay tuned, you're going to see. The Gemara describes hatred as chinam, i.e. groundless and unwarranted. But what does that actually mean? If there was no reason for animosity, why did they hate? Rav Yonasan Eibershitz discusses this question. He explained, the breakdown of Jewish society, began with a rift between the Torah scholars and the ignorant masses. Interesting. No bitterness can compare, says Rav Yonasan Eibershitz, to that of an ignoramus who instinctively fears the Torah's most precious heritage of all Jews, yet he fails to muster the initiative to take possession of it for himself. So he might understand and recognize within himself, an ignoramus, that Torah is the most precious possession that we have, but for whatever reason, he does not take the initiative. Now, it's so interesting, because I always say, more than being very smart, I'm not talking about someone who is mentally challenged, or born with a lower than average even IQ, but for a regular person, what is needed before brilliance is motivation. When a person has motivation, they can change themselves and change the world. A person who is not motivated, Rachman al-Tzlan, it's one of the greatest failings to lack a need of motivation. So here, Rav Yonasan Eibershitz explains that the ignorant masses understand the importance of Torah, yet fail to muster the initiative, take possession of it for himself. You're going to another shir, you're learning more, another halacha I have to take care of, another Musar Shmuz, more Ashkafa, more Hilchos Shmir Lashon. Seriously, it's enough. And dark feelings of intense frustration and resentment smolder in his soul, says Rav Yonasan Eibershitz. And he becomes jealous of Torah scholars who joyously master the myriad mysteries and intricacies of the rich Torah legacy. Indeed, the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim describes the love of Torah scholars for the Torah in terms of the relationship between a chasan and a kala, a bride and groom. And therefore, so it's like a bride and groom. They're so ecstatic to finally be together. They're so happy to finally be married. They're so looking forward to this joyous event, and they will spend the rest of their lives together. So that is how Talmid Chacham looks at Torah. He's ecstatic to be reunited with Torah. He cannot wait to spend the rest of his life with Torah. So the Gemara, that's a metaphor from Maseches Pesachim of a Talmid Chacham to love for Torah, the relationship of a kala to a chas. And therefore, when an ignoramus sees the scholar engaged in Torah study, he is as angry as a groom watching his bride being torn from him before his very own eyes. Indeed, the Gemara observes that the hatred of the ignorant for Torah scholars surpasses the hatred which the Gentile idolaters have for the Jews. So this is very interesting, because sometimes, Rechman al Nitzan, sometimes, there are certain Jews or certain groups of Jews, you see it today in the political arena, who are embarrassed to be Jewish, who are embarrassed of the State of Israel, who hate observant Jews, not just hate observant Jews. But Nitzan Eibish says the root of this is really kinah, it's really jealousy. And that jealousy causes that intense hatred. And sometimes these Jews, these self-hating Jews, hate Jews even more than the Gentiles hate the Jews. This hatred found its most virulent, poisonous vehicle in the rise of the Sadducees. Their hatred of the sages, the transmitters of the oral law, Torah Shabbat, led them to deny that oral law was Min HaShemayim, and they denied the authority of the rabbis who transmitted it. They shattered the cornerstone of Jewish faith, and they splintered the Jewish people. And now we come to further quote from the Chafetz Chaim. The further previous quote from the Chafetz Chaim was in his Sefer Ahavas Yisrael, where two people might have animosity so they'll avoid meeting each other. Now the footnote quotes the Chafetz Chaim from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, which is why the Chafetz Chaim is known as the Chafetz Chaim, from his Sefer on Shmir Salashan. Here we go. The Chafetz Chaim teaches, and the Gemara says, the second temple was destroyed because of baseless hatred, sinas chinam, and that baseless hatred is tantamount to avodah zarah, gila rice, and shvichas damim, idolatry, morality, and bloodshed. The reference, says the Chafetz Chaim, is not solely to hatred that you keep locked up in your heart, but ready, also to the hatred that is expressed through lashon hara. This is clear from the Gemara below, which proves that causeless hatred existed amongst the ruling class of the first temple as well, which we will get to. And the footnote has a footnote. The footnote has a parenthesis. It says, "Si meseches arachin tasvav," which is what we're trying to get to. So the Chafetz Chaim explains that sin has chinam, that destroyed by Yesheni, and he explains this in his introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, does not mean only hatred, a sinah, animosity that you keep locked up in your heart, but it refers to the expression of such hatred through lashon hara. The Chafetz Chaim, continuing, who dedicated his life to the eradication of sinas chinam and lashon hara. So we understand that sinas chinam and lashon hara go hand in hand. So when the Gemara says that the second temple was destroyed because of sinas chinam, what it really means, says the Chafetz Chaim, is that it was destroyed because of lashon hara. So now we could understand how sinas chinam is shkula to Keneged Shalosh Averos, Avodah Zarah, Gila Rice, and Shvichus Damim. We know that someone who speaks Lashon Hara is as if he killed, so it's equal to Shvichus Damim. We know that someone who speaks Lashon Hara is like an idolater. It's as if he doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, then how can you believe that that person does not have a Tzelem Elokim? And furthermore, Gila Rice is as if you are committing a trespass of the worst kind against your fellow Jews. So the Chafetz Chaim understands that the sin is chinam here. In our Gemara, Maseches Yuma, that the destroyed by Yesheni is referring to, not exclusively, but also the expression of hatred through lashon hara. The Chafetz Chaim, so we also know that the Gemara Yerushalmi tells us, Kol dor shelo bana biyamav kilu nechru biyamav. So we also live in a society, Baruch Hashem, where we are osik in Torah mitzvahs and kabbalas chasadim. We really are. Baruch Hashem, we have a society full of Torah. We have a society full of mitzvahs. You're a society full of gemilas chasadim. So maybe you look around and you say, we're such good Jews, we want to give ourselves a nice pat on the back. How come the geula is not here? So the Chafetz Chaim didn't live so long ago. It's not lived 1,000 years ago. Died in the 1930s. So apparently he's teaching us about our times. Because you could have so many mitzvos and so much Torah and so much gemilas chasadim, but if you have sinas chinim, i.e. sins that are encompassed under the umbrella of lashon hara, and the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be rebuilt. Rachman al Tzan, oy lanu ki chatanu. The Chafetz Chaim, who dedicated his life to the eradication of sinas chinam and lashon hara, elaborates in Shmiras HaLashon, chapter 2, Halacha Zion, on issues related to our Gemara. So I'm quoting issues related to this Gemara of the Chofetz Chaim's teachings. The following is cited from his exposition there. The Rishonim have written that of these sins, basis, hatred, and lashon hara, so in other words, according to the Chofetz Chaim, these really go hand in hand. Sinis chinam is lashon hara is sinis chinam. So think about that as well. Every time we are about to speak negatively about another person, every time you are about to engage in kaas, every time you are about to express late sanus, every time you want to have machlokas like Korach, every time you want to exhibit onas dvarim, verbal abuse of somebody else, divrei sheker, habanis panim, rechilas on lashon hara, what you are really embracing is the avera of sinas chinam. The Chafetz Chaim teaches, the Rishonim have written that of these sins, meaning sinas chinam and lashon hara, had the power to cause a standing edifice to be destroyed, then certainly their continued presence amongst our people will prevent a new temple from being built. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. And in Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, Perek Beis, I don't know if it's Halacha Zayin, it says Shmiras HaLashon 2:7. Chafetz Chaim says, Beferish, not Micha Horetz, I said it before, the Chafetz Chaim says, Beferish, that if Beis HaSeichel and Lashon Hara destroyed the first temple, then they must continue to be amongst us, and it will prevent Bayis Shlishi from being built. This is alluded to in the sage's statement, any generation which does not rebuild is a generation that is as if it's destroyed. To our great misfortune, even those who have an understanding of Torah law do not accord the sins of Shmiras HaLashon with the severity of other sins. Remember, we learned, was it in this Sefer that we learned that the Chofetz Chaim would say that the sins of the laws, the mitzvahs, it wasn't our Sefer, it wasn't Klinjus Chofetz HaShmira, that the laws of Shmiras HaLashon are like a mace mitzvah. It's a very sad, humorous statement. Mace mitzvah, meaning they're a mitzvah, they're like died, no one even pays attention to them. And that's exactly what the footnote quotes here from Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. To our great misfortune, even those who have an understanding of Torah law do not accord these sins the severity of other sins. It is written that a single congregation which is meticulous, listen again, a single congregation which is meticulous in maintaining peace amongst itself can bring the Mashiach. Thus, the coming of Mashiach is in our hands. If one congregation can be meticulous in a shalom, and if sinas chinam is lashon hara, then ahavas chinam is certainly shalom bein adam mechaveru, then that single congregation can bring Mashiach. Thus, the coming of Mashiach is in our hands. I want to tell you something very interesting that I think relates to this nekuda very strongly. I was thinking, I don't know if it was last year or a year and a half ago, I don't remember exactly what the date was, but I was thinking of the word Mashiach, and it's very interesting. If you look at the word Mashiach, you can divide it. I don't even like to talk about Mashiach. Someone texted me yesterday saying her friend said 35% of Jews have to die before Mashiach comes, and this when Mashiach comes, that Mashiach comes. I said, I have no idea what's going to be when Mashiach comes. I wasn't being facetious, I was being serious. I said, I can't comment on anything about when Mashiach comes. Don't know what it will be. If you didn't read Rav Arnia Plyansky's Lopyansky Shita article in Shavuot's edition of Mishpacha, you should please read it. It's on the four goals of what Mashiach will accomplish. Besides, for what I've read, I cannot comment. But I'm just talking about the word Mashiach itself. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because the footnote here, based on the Chofetz Chaim's teachings, is talking about the bring of Mashiach, that a single congregation can bring Mashiach. But I want to share an interesting nekuda with you that relates to this. Okay? The word Mashiach, Mem, Shin, Yod, Ches, can be broken down into Me, Siach. Mem means from, okay? Mem means from. Siach means speech. So I think this is a very interesting ha'ara that relates strongly to what the Chofetz Chaim is teaching here. How will Mashiach come Me, Siach? Ma'ahavti sorasecha kol hayam hi sichasi. Okay? Siach has a number of different meanings. One of them is conversation. Per kufiyotes of Tehillim, under the letter Mem. Kufiyotes is all different letters of the alphabet. Each letter gets a psukim. Under Mem, we say ma'ahavti sorasecha. How much I love your Torah, Rebbe Shalom. Kol hayam hi sichasi. All day it is my conversation. So how will Mashiach come? May siach, from our speech. From, ma'am, siach means speech. When we learn how to utilize our, isn't that beautiful insight that relates, I think it's so beautiful, it relates exactly to what the Chafetz Chaim is teaching us here. When we learn to speak appropriately, may siach, then Mashiach will come. So the answer to how to bring Mashiach is right in the word Mashiach itself. What exactly is going to be Bimos of Mashiach? I mamish have no idea. Again, read Rav Aaron Lapiansky Shita's article in the Shavuos edition of Mishpacha. It was masterful and very important. On my own, I can't say anything about Mashiach, but I can tell you that nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is an accident. That's for sure. Okay? The secrets that exist in the osios of the Aleph Beis, Yistaka Bel Reis Uvar Alma, are beyond comprehension. We only know a drop of the secrets that exist in the Lashon HaKodesh, in Hashem's holy language. But Mashiach and Mesiach are mamish the same letters. Siach means conversation. Mashiach, Mashiach will come, and we learn how to talk properly. If we push off the geula by not speaking properly, says the Chafetz Chaim, because sinas chinam equals lashon hara. So we're having a whole new understanding today of what sinas chinam means. When the Gemara says the second temple is destroyed because of sinas chinam, the Chafetz Chaim says, you know what that means? It was destroyed because of lashon hara. So, and furthermore, the Chavetz Chaim says, Beferush, not Michal Horowitz, I said on my own before, but the Chavetz Chaim says, Beferush, in Shmir Salashon 2:7, that any door that does not rebuild it, it's because those sins of Sinis Chinam, Ayi Lashon Hara, still exist in our time and amongst us. So, if that destroys the temple, then how will Mashiach come? Mashiach. I'm utilizing our speech in the proper way. Going back inside to the footnote. Thus, the coming of the Messiah is in our hands, as we just said, Mashiach, if we could just turn our speech around and make it positive. Even one congregation who can attain Shalom, we can bring the redemption. It is well known that true peace is impossible. Listen again. It is well known that true peace, absolute Shalom, is impossible without zealousness in avoiding sinis, chinim, and lashon hara. Do you see how the Chavetz Chaim ties or explains or expounds that sin is chim so strongly as lashon hara? Every person who will strive to correct these sins, this should be a chizuk for all of us who learn this class. It says strive to correct these sins, which I think is interesting. It doesn't say you will be perfect in this area. Man is weak. Man is a yetzer hara. Man learns and forgets. Man tries his best. I'm not saying that we should go out and sin and say, Hashem, I tried my best. Nobody should think that. But isn't it true that we try and we try and try, and sometimes you find you stumble? Anyways, but the Chafetz Chaim teaches that every person who will strive to correct these sins will have a share in the building of Bayis Shlishi. For without such people, the temple would remain destroyed forever, heaven forbid. I'm going to repeat that. It is well known, I'm going to try not to interrupt myself. It is well known that a single congregation which is meticulous in maintaining peace amongst itself can merit bringing the Messiah. Thus, the coming of the Messiah is in our hands. It is well known that true peace is impossible without zealousness in avoiding sinas chinam and lashon hara. Every person who will strive to correct these sins while they share in the building of Bayis Shlishi, third temple. For without such people who strive to correct the sins of lashon hara and sinas chinam, the temple would remain destroyed forever, heaven forbid. So it makes perfect sense to see how Mashiach, from our speech, we will bring Mashiach. I will just point out, for those of you who might be thinking, siach also means tefillah. I am aware of that. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnos erev. Vayisa eina vayar v'hineg malimbarim. 2463 on Parshas Chayesara, Yitzchak went out into the field, Lasuach Basada. So both Rashi and Unkel say, Lasuach is Lashon Tfilah. So if you want to know how else Mashiach will come, Mesiach, it doesn't only mean from conversation, it also means from Tfilah. It's very beautiful. I'll tell you, when I, Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, thought of this, I don't know, a year ago, just the word Mashiach itself tells you how bringing the redemption is in our hands. So if we don't want to mourn, if we don't want to fast on Shavuos or Arba Tamos, not because we're hungry, not because it's hot, not because we're thirsty. If we don't want to fast, because Rachman and Son, what we're fasting for. So the answer to the Geula is in our hands. Chavetz Chaim says that sin eschinim is Lashon Hara. When he says Lashon Hara, we mean the umbrella of all sins of forbidden speech. That destroyed the second temple, and the Chavetz Chaim says if we didn't rebuild it, it means it's still here today. May Siach. When we can improve our conversation, as in Mahatisur Secha Kolami Sichasi, all day the Talmid Chacham wants to talk about Torah. Rav Salvechik Zatzal, excuse me, tells over the following vignette regarding his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker. Zecher Tzadvik Kodesh Avecha. It's funny because this was just brought to hand recently, actually. There was a whole article on Brisk. It was fascinating on the house of Brisk, on the dynasty that it spanned. And this article, this story that the Rav tells over about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, Zatzal, was how the article Mishpacha ended. It was a couple months ago. It was a beautiful piece on the Brisker dynasty. I don't know if anybody saw. This was the last story in the article, which I knew because the Rav tells it over. So his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, attended the first, I think it was the Aguda convention in Katowice or Katanowitz, okay, wherever it was in Europe. It was the early 1900s, I think the early 1920s. And he didn't say anything. He was there the whole time. He didn't talk. So after one of the Gedolei Dor, they asked him why he didn't talk the whole time. So he said, let me tell you a mashal. A man and his wife own a grocery store. A customer comes into the grocery store. He picks up the beets. He says to the shop owner, how much are these? He says, 10 kopecks. He picks up the bag of sugar. He says, how much is the, you know, I don't know how they weighed in those days, a kilo of sugar. The shopkeeper says, 10 kopecks. He picks up a potato. He says, how much is the potato? Imagine what the stores looked like in Europe, not like what our stores look like today. I was never in the stores in Europe, in the old Altaheim, but I could imagine they didn't look like what we have today. He picks up a potato. He says, how much is the potato? The shopkeeper says, 10 kopecks. Finally, the customer looks at the wife. She says, everything I asked your husband, he says, it's 10 kopecks. Everything in your store is 10 kopecks. So the wife says, listen, my husband only knows how to say one. My husband only knows how to say one thing. He only knows how to say 10 kopecks. So whatever you ask him, he's going to say it's 10 kopecks. So the Rav says, as grandfather of Chaim Brisker said, by me it's the same thing. I only know how to speak Torah. But I'm not talking Torah at this convention. It was a political convention, so I had nothing to say. Mesiach, when we learn to talk the way we should be talking, Mashiach will come. Furthermore, Mesiach, as in Bereishis 24:63. Says Rashi Anunkus, he was davening. When we learn how to daven, Mesiach, not just say, Ushalayim Yercha Brachum Tashuv, really mean, Ushalayim Yercha Brachum Tashuv, cry. A vignette related to Mesiach, our prayers for the Messiah. Okay, we had a humorous vignette with a strong story related to Mesiach, if we learn how to talk properly, but we're supposed to talk about based on Chaim Brisker and 10 kopecks. What about Mesiach learning how to daven for the Messiah? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, but that's kind of who tells over the story. The story is told over by Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky Shlita, Rav Yaakov's grandson, in his series called Parsha Parables. Okay, he tells a Dvarat Torah on the Parsha with a humorous, usually humorous parable, mashal, to bring his point home. So he tells over, it was the Middle Ages, and there was a Jewish farmer and his wife, and they rented out some land from the serfdom, and they worked so hard. They had almost nothing. They had one cow that gave them some milk. They had one chicken that laid some eggs. Taxes were exorbitant. They had such hard lives. And one day, the husband comes home. He went to the market to sell some of their eggs. It looks like he saw a ghost. He was white as a sheet. He looks terrible. The wife says, have a seat, sit down. Can I bring you some water from the well? What's wrong? She says, oi, my dear wife, they say in the market, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is coming. He says, who will pay our rent? Who will milk our cow? Who will collect the chicken's eggs? What will become of us? Mashiach is coming. The wife says, dear husband, do not worry. The Almighty, in his kindness, saved us from Esav. The Almighty, in his great chesed, saved us from Pharaoh. He saved us from Haman and Achashverosh. Surely, The Almighty will save us from this Mashiach too. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Do we really want the redemption? Or do we just want things to go back to how they were before the world went a little bit crazy? Are we so comfortable in Galus? Maybe we don't really need to work on our Sinas Chinam, which is Lashon Hara according to the Chavetz Chaim. We don't really need to strive to correct these sins, because we don't really care if the third temple is rebuilt. Who will watch our homes? Who will manage our bank account? Who will watch the chicken soup cooking on the stove? The wife who is steeped in faith in the Almighty says, "My good husband, do not worry. God saved us from our enemies in every generation. He will save us from this Messiah too." May Siach. Mashiach will come perhaps when we really learn how to daven for Mashiach. May Siach, it will come when we know how to talk properly from our conversation. If they're not talking things we shouldn't be talking about, we need to get away very quickly from that conversation. And if it's our own mouths instigating the conversation, run. May Siach, Mashiach will come when we know how to daven for Mashiach. Really daven. Hashivu Shoteinu K'Rishona. Do we mean we want a normal American president, or do we really mean we want Malchus Beis David? And finally, Siach means one more thing. Siach means plants. Bereishis 2:5. Bereishis 2:5 tells us all the plants had not yet sprouted. Mesiach. If we learn how to have a proper conversation, eradicate sin eschinim by ahavas Yisrael, and therefore proper speech will follow, says the Chavetz Chaim. Mesiach, if we really daven for Mashiach like we mean it, then Mesiach, from plants, the Mashiach will sprout. Because isn't that what we daven for every day? Et Samach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. We ask Hashem to cause the flowering of the plant of Mashiach to come very, very quickly. Siach means three things. Conversation. Kofi Yates of Tehillim. Tefillah. Bereishis Chaf Dalet Samach Gimel. And finally, plants. Bereishis 2:5. And all of those three things teach us how Mashiach will come. Mashiach, Mei Siach. It will come when we learn to speak like we love our fellow Jew. Not like we harbor animosity in our heart and soul. Mashiach will come when we daven like we really want Mashiach to come. And then finally, Mei Siach, we will witness the from sprouting, the plant that has sprouted with the coming of Malchus Beis David. One more line in the footnote. I'm still Maseches Yuma 9b, Tassam Abbeis. Rav Yecheskel of Kozmir said, "The temple was destroyed because of unwarranted hatred. It will be rebuilt because of unwarranted love." The Gemara then says, okay, so that's on Amal Mikdash Sheni, Yishayu Oskin B'Torah V'Mitzvos U'Gmilas Chasadim Mifnei Ma'acharav Mifnei Shaisabo Sinis Chirim. I'm just repeating the Gemara. Dacha Shaskula Sinis Chirim K'negad Shalash Averos V'Dezar Gile Reis U'Shvichus Damim. And the Gemara says, V'Mikdash Rishon Lo Hava Be Sinis Chirim. The Gemara says, wait a second, in the first temple, was there no Sinis Chirim? V'Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, one second. Elu b'nei Adam she'ochlin v'shosin ze'im ze'im. These were the aristocracy, the people who were able to eat and drink together, to act friendly towards one another. They had enough money to invite someone for a meal. They got together. Maybe they had political debates. They spoke about the Babylonians. Maybe they spoke about the exile of the 10 tribes. They were able to sit and eat and drink. They shared simchas together. And nevertheless, v'dokrin zeh etzeh b'charavot shebelishonam. V'dokrin zeh etzeh b'charavos shebelishonam. They ate and they drank. This is during the time of Bayis Rishon. But they stabbed each other with the daggers of their tongue, i.e., says the art school translation, they speak evil of one another. Thus we see, concludes art school in its notes, That unwarranted hatred, sinas chinam, which Chavetz Chaim clearly says is Lashon Hara, the Gemara here proves is Lashon Hara, did exist during the period of the first temple as well. So as we enter this time period of Bein HaMitzarim, between the straits and the narrow places, Min HaMeitzar, Karasika, Anani Bamerchavka, Min HaMeitzar, yes, we call out to God. Anani, we ask him to answer us, to widen the narrow spaces. Who wants to be in this galus anymore? Oi! But, do we really want to be out of this galus with Mashiach? Or do we just want life to go, quote, back to normal, the way it was before? Do we have such pure faith in the Almighty, that just like he saved us from all our enemies in the past, he will save us from this Mashiach as well? I'm not giving you Musar. Look at the reality of how long this galus is taking. We just quoted at length the Chavetz Chaim, who discusses why we're still here. Okay, I'm going to go to one halacha before we conclude our learning today. I just hope that this class, which really reframes the sin of sin is chinam, it's not my own teaching, it's Chavetz Chaim's teaching, as you saw we were quoting, which reframes the whole sin is chinam in light of our understanding that it has to do with the umbrella or the category of sins of Lashon Hara. And then we went to understand Mesiach, that Mashiach will come from our conversation, from our tefillah, and then we will witness the sprouting of the plant of Ben David. Gives us a lot of food for thought, I think, as we enter this time period of Bein HaMitzarim. Okay, halacha, the habitual sinner. The prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara does not apply. The prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara does not apply when the subject is known to regularly engage in the negative behavior under discussion. So let's say somebody is absolutely known. My kids tell me I say known incorrectly, okay? I don't know. They say it's known. I'm not sure. Say I say known wrong, okay? That made you smile. I don't know. They say in a loving way. Every time I say known, they correct me nicely. I want them to correct me. I still think I say it wrong. The prohibition of accepting Lashon Hara does not apply. And the subject is known to regularly engage in the negative behavior under discussion. So if that person, it's well known to everybody that they constantly engage in that negative behavior, it is not prohibited to accept Lashon Hara. Thus, if on a number of occasions one has personally witnessed an individual commit a particular sin, he would be permitted to believe that the person committed the sin again. In other words, if you personally saw somebody eating a McDonald's hamburger, okay, nah, you could behave it on the kavtschos, maybe he's a tinuk shenishba, I don't know, but he goes into McDonald's, he brings it to your house, it's not kosher rachman, but a McDonald's package, he comes to your front porch, and he eats a cheeseburger, and it's taga the treif cheeseburger, and someone tells you, do you know, Mr. X went to McDonald's and ate a cheeseburger in my house, so you have seen him on a number of occasions committing that sin, it is permitted to believe. That's he committed the sin again. The Chavetz Chaim seems to suggest that one would even be permitted to believe that the person has committed a different sin. So that's very interesting. Once someone gets a reputation of being a sinner, Rachmana Litzan, the Chavetz Chaim suggests you might even be permitted to believe he committed a totally different sin. When a person is known to totally disregard the Torah and its mitzvos, okay? So if you have a person who shows no regard for Torah, no regard for mitzvos, one may certainly accept a report that he has committed any sin. You have personally witnessed. It's not hearsay. It's not something you read on, you know, the online website. You know he did it. You've seen him do it. So this is a person who has a reputation, firsthand knowledge of committing sin. So you are allowed to believe that he committed any sin. If one is known to regularly transgress a particular sin out of temptation, okay, then one would be allowed to believe he transgressed it again, but you are required to reject the claim that it was done maliciously. So if no person's striving and they're trying so hard, they're really a good person, but taka, the HR in that area is so strong that a very big taiva, you're permitted to believe he did the Aveira, but you are not permitted to believe it was with malicious intent. Rather, he was weak. And then we go back to what we learned earlier in class, perhaps, instead of allowing ill will to turn into full-blown sinis chinim, says the Chavetz Chaim, you could try and educate him to return him to God. I hope that everybody has some real food for thought. As we go into this period of the 3 weeks, Mesiach, Let's really make sure our conversation is befitting a Torah Jew. Messiah, let's daven for the Messiah like we really want him to come. And then perhaps Messiah, we will be zochet to witness from the sprouting of the plant. A Mashiach ben David, Shayavo b'mheira b'yameinu. I wish you all a wonderful day. We thank the wonderful Axelrod family, our hosts, and our sponsors for this year. We should have besuros tovos, kol tov, everybody.